It is one of the world's most virulent diseases, and it's breaking out in a country at war. That's what's happening in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the Ebola virus has been flaring up for the past 8 months. Relief workers there now say they're seeing record numbers of new Ebola cases on a daily basis. And medical volunteers on the scene are reporting that many of the people who are at the greatest risk are confused about how the virus is spread, and they're distrustful of the health workers trying to prevent Ebola from spreading. Tariq Rebel is with the International Rescue Committee. He's based in eastern DRC in a spot called Butembo.
We've actually seen an uptick in daily transmission rates. So we're seeing more infections per day than we had previously. Double-digit numbers now are not unusual anymore. This has been happening for a few weeks now and is of extreme concern. We're definitely far away from seeing the end of this epidemic. I think a couple of months ago, there was a lot more optimism. But right now, there's a sense that this is going to take a long time before we turn the corner. We have strong reasons to believe that the number of cases we do find per day are just maybe half of the total number of cases. So the situation is probably even worse.
Are you saying then that things have reached the tipping point in DR Congo with Ebola?
If we say tipping point, I think there's been a recognition for a couple of weeks now that in terms of reaching out to communities and working with the affected people, we have probably had to improve in terms of our messaging, in terms of our outreach. There's a lot that needs to be done to regain the trust of the population. So I guess the tipping point question is really, can we turn the corner with the communities? Will communities trust the Ebola response as a whole, work with us and the different activities, or will there be a distrust of the response and of the epidemic as a whole?
And on that point, the reports that I hear suggest that local residents still seem to be confused about what Ebola even is, and they're often skeptical about the international aid groups that are there to help. Are affected families coming to you, coming to the IRC for help? Are they bringing the sick to you, and are the deaths happening increasingly in the treatment centers?
This is where it gets really ambiguous and complicated. I can tell you one story that exemplifies this. We had a female patient come to us, 40 years old. She had lost both children to Ebola. The rest of her family, including her husband, decided to get vaccinated when the vaccination was offered. But she, for whatever reason, didn't. And unfortunately, she herself started showing symptoms. Eventually, she came to one of IRC's supported health facilities. And when we spoke to her, she didn't want to go to the treatment center, despite knowing that two of her kids had died. But eventually she did. She just didn't want to go by ambulance. She decided to go by motorbike with her husband. Here's someone who has personally witnessed the terrible impact of Ebola on her life and her family, and is still struggling with the complexities of seeking treatment.
So how do you get more people into the clinics and listening to the healthcare professionals at a wholesale level?
There has been a lot of trust that's been lost. And so there's a lot of rumors circulating around Ebola. A lot of those rumors need to be debunked, but that takes time. You need to do it rumor by rumor. You need to deal with each community in a slightly different way. You need to reach out and rebuild that trust and ensure as well that people feel that when they do seek treatment, that they will be well treated, that they understand what will happen. And also, obviously, the risks, because unfortunately, though we have some treatments for Ebola, obviously, there's still a very high fatality rate.
Are the deaths happening increasingly in treatment centers? Because, as you well know, when they happen in a village outside of the treatment center, then people often touch the body and then the infection spreads from there.
Unfortunately, we still see a huge number of community deaths. It's often half or even more than half of the daily caseload. So that means that basically people, you know, have been hiding or possibly sought treatment but then refused to be referred and died at home, or the families hid them.
I'm speaking with Tariq Rebel. He's the Emergency Response Director for the International Rescue Committee, and he's at the epicenter of the Ebola outbreak in DR Congo. Tariq, what sort of rumors are shared that prevent people from coming to the treatment centers?
There are a lot of issues that we allowed maybe to fester by not addressing clearly from the outset. One example is that the vaccination itself is considered suspicious, and some people actually think that people are being injected with Ebola rather than vaccinated. Mm. And now the rumor, of course, plays itself out, because when people that have maybe already contracted Ebola from a case are vaccinated but aren't showing symptoms yet, so that means we wouldn't be able to test them positively for Ebola until they show symptoms. When they then, a day or two later, do get Ebola because they were actually already infected, then they attribute that to the vaccination. So it's these sorts of things that can happen that can cause a lot of confusion or anger and rumors to circulate about agendas and so on.
We've also got to talk, Tariq, about the fighting in the region there in Congo. It's also a huge concern. We know that the aid group Doctors Without Borders pulled out of the area you're in due to the security situation. 4 Ebola clinics have been attacked in the past month or so. There's even a report that a nurse was strangled to death. How close are you and your people to the fighting? What are you seeing?
I do think in terms of those incidents, it is important that those people are brought to justice. It hits close to home. On the other hand, we have been able to continue working again by reaching out to the communities, being able to explain what we do in a better way than before, hopefully, and keep working, you know, with the other actors that remain here.
Have you experienced any of the chaotic security situation, Tariq?
We've had to often suspend activities, sometimes for a couple of days. We have had to constantly make security a huge priority in the programming. So even on a daily level, we have to review our activities and sometimes suspend certain activities because of the insecurity, because of the risk to our teams. It's absolutely a huge concern.
Tariq Ribal, the Emergency Response Director for the International Rescue Committee, speaking with us from Butembo, which is at the center of the Ebola outbreak in DR Congo. Thank you very much, Tariq.
Thank you.